very long section of the Bible. Ash, thank you for asking us questions earlier on about the future and about faith. This passage that Emma's just read to us is all about the future. It's got three men there towards the end of their lives who engage those around them with things concerning the future. There is a real deep discomfort that comes with not knowing. All right, when you don't know something, it can be very, very uncomfortable, and it can nag away and claw in the back of your mind and sometimes just eat away until you get clarity. And sometimes it's you know, if the news isn't good news, you just need to know what it is, don't you, in order to be able to cope with it and move forward. And very few things highlight that discomfort about the future than actually not knowing the future. What will come next? What will happen? Whether you're 21 and at uni, or starting down the path of your career, or you're 62 and quietly wondering if your life has turned out the way that you had hoped, we all of us, in some way, live into a future we cannot see. And it's not comfortable sometimes to trust ourselves to God and even to trust those around us with our futures. We can try to map it out. We can have the five-year plan. We can have our financial strategy. We can have our relationship goals all put in place. But the truth is, we're all working with very limited visibility. James Viner sat here, was a trustee for many, many years. He really deserves an OBE, and sometimes I think I might write to the king and say that he deserves an OBE for services to Sheffield and to our church. And James would often say, you know, do we have line of sight to that? And that's absolutely right. Do we have you made good plans? But often, and often we made decisions knowing we didn't have line of sight to certain things. We had to, as we often said, lay the track as we go. And that makes us anxious. It makes us anxious unless this is really important, unless we know the one who's got the future in his hands. You know, if we can be absolutely confident, not knowing zip about the future, if we know the one who planned the future. And if you know Jesus, and you know him as Lord, and as your Savior, then you can trust him with your future. And that, in essence, is what we are engaging with tonight. The big idea is this. You don't need to know the future when you know the God who holds it. You don't need to know the future if you know the God who holds the future. And in today's Bible reading, we get a glimpse of these final moments. As Ash told us earlier on, three Old Testament believers. There's a father, there's a son, and a grandson, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And they were men who didn't see the fulfillment of God's promises in their lifetime. But they lived and they died trusting that God would outlive them and God would keep his promises to them. And their example speaks right into our modern fears and our anxieties into our lives today. So first of all, let's go through each of them. First of all, there's Isaac. Isaac had faith to bless the future. That's the thing about him there in verse 20. Isaac had faith to bless the future. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Isaac had two sons. Esau was very hairy and strong and outdoorsy. Think Bear Grylls in sandals. Jacob was the opposite. He was indoorsy kind of a guy, and he liked cookery. But he was a bit of a trickster. In fact, that's playing it light. He was quite nasty as a trickster. When Isaac blessed his two sons, it wasn't a very clear moment of calm faith at all. Everything went wrong. It was full of confusion and deception. Jacob disguised himself as his older hairy brother, putting on some goat skin, went into his dad for his dad's blessing, and his dad couldn't see much and put out, and it's the hairy one. He blessed the wrong son. And also he thought. But God had a different plan. See, behind the mess, God's sovereign plan was unfolding, just as God had promised it would do. At some point, Isaac must have realized, even in my weakness, lack of sight, my confusion, even though I was tricked by one of my boys, God's promises still stand. And in that moment, he leaned into faith. He chose to speak blessing, not from a place of control, this is important, but from a place of faith and trust in God, who controls the future. Some of us are planners, and we love the idea of shaping the future and dreaming our dreams and figuring it all out. And we want clarity, and we want control, and we want certainty. But what if real faith means laying down the illusion of control and choosing to bless the future, to speak and act in trust, even when the plan doesn't go our way? That's faith. It's especially hard when it comes to our hopes for others and for ourselves, for our children, if we have children, our friends, our loved ones, our church. Faith sometimes means releasing our dreams for ourselves, for someone else, and asking, Lord, what do you want for them? I'm going to trust you. So what about your future? What makes you anxious for yourself or for others? You know, you can trust God for that person that's come to your mind. You can trust God for yourself. Isaac learned that faith means trusting that God's purposes are better than our preferences. That God's purposes are better than our preferences. And that's a lesson that we need to learn again and again and again. And if you look, track back through my life, I'm still learning it again and again and again, and God leading us to trust him in new situations and in new ways. So that's Isaac. And what about Jacob? Jacob had faith at the end of life. Jacob had faith at the end of life. Look at verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. So here's Jacob, but we fast track. He's now, and he was the boy who stole his father's blessing. And here he is as an old man. He's frail, probably near blind himself, and he's leaning on his staff, a bit like a wise old wizard with a big beard, maybe. Gandalf or whatever. He's leaning on his staff, and what does he do? Well, he blesses Joseph's sons. His son Joseph blesses his grandsons. Just like his father Isaac, he does it wrong. He gives the better blessing to the younger son rather than to the older one. And the older one, I mean, basically, that should have, you know, gets to hold the remote control when the family's watching TV and gets to have the last pizza, you know, when there's only one pizza slice left and it's not shared out between the rest of the family. That's what the older boy deserved, you know, and that's what he got. Well, no, Jacob switches it. He switches his hands over while he's about to bless them, and he gives the younger boy the greater blessing than his older brother. And you can imagine the family around saying, hey, Pops, you've got it wrong. And he goes, well, Pops often, yeah, grandpas often get, I'm a grandpa, yeah, grandpas often get it wrong, but not this time. This time, yeah, it's topsy-turvy, but we're talking about God and God's ways and God's plans. Once again, God flips human expectations. And this time, Jacob doesn't resist. He embraces it, because over his lifetime, he's learned that God's grace doesn't follow our human rules. God's grace doesn't follow our human rules. God's ways are better. They're higher than us. They are wiser, even when we don't understand them. And then right there, staff in hand, body wearing out, Jacob worships the Lord. That's really significant. None of us, as far as we know, are at the end of our life tonight, but we may be at the end of our rope over some issue. You might be really weary, you might be tired, you might be really uncertain, you might feel really stretched, you might feel out of your depth, you might come to Sheffield and come to uni and you're really missing friends and family, home, and you're at the end. Or there's other things that are just making you uncertain in different ways, and you feel weary, tired. And yet, in that situation, worship is still possible. That's what Jacob tells us and shows us. Sometimes all faith looks like is this, leaning on your staff. I think it's, there's a picture going on. He's leaning heavily on his staff, and it's a picture of him leaning heavily on God. He leans on it. So the Bible says he leans on his staff, and he worships God. He's leaning heavily on God at the end of his life. Sometimes you don't need a new plan. You just need to remember God's promises and to keep trusting him. Jacob had lived a wild and a messy life, but at the end he remembers God's promises and he worships. So about us tonight, what do you face that's uncertain or tough? Where are you in your heart, in your experience? Where are you spiritually in your walk with the Lord? Tonight's a night to say, no, I'm going to lean again on you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. There's a load of things I can't trust, but I can trust you. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, number three. Joseph had faith beyond the grave. Look at verse 22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Well, why his bones? Really? His bones? What's going on here? This morning went through his passage and I had a big plastic bone to show everybody. Had a big staff as well to lean on. If anyone had reason to settle down and be happy in Egypt, it was Joseph. You know, he'd lived a life. He'd been sold into slavery by his brothers. He'd ended up in an Egyptian prison. And then, by God's good grace and mercy, he had been elevated basically to being the second most powerful person in all of Egypt. And Egypt in those days was one of the main world superpowers. So he was one of the most powerful men in the known world. All right? He was. That's where Joseph was. And here he is towards the end of his life. He got every opportunity to say, you know, hey, I've got a villa on the Nile. All I'm missing is sort of a flamingo-shaped lilo, and now you can just chill out. This is paradise. This is the promised land. He could have said all that, couldn't he? But he didn't. He had his eye on something else. God bless me here, but this ain't the promised land. He knew somewhere else was. Joseph knew that this here and now, no matter how good it gets, isn't the end of the story. He looked ahead to a time when he wouldn't and couldn't see and said, God will bring you home to those around him. And when he does, don't you leave my bones here. Take them with you. He was a man of resurrection, a man of the promised land, the future that God had promised. He was thinking about God's future faithfulness beyond his own death. How often do we live like Egypt, if I can put it that way, is the goal? You know, the degree, the job, the house, the lifestyle. Joseph reminds us that even success, even great success, is not home. Never will be. If we belong to Jesus, our home is elsewhere. And we're called to live now in the light of the future that God has promised. Joseph left a legacy of faith. a body ready for resurrection, as it were, carrying his bones. Real visual and a strong thing that he left behind him. He wanted his life and he wanted his death to say, God keeps his promises. So what kind of legacy are we leaving? What kind of legacy are you leaving with the people who you live with? The people on your course? You know? The people in your neighborhood, your colleagues. Will they remember you for someone who just whinged about potholes in the road or about politics? Or will they go, no, hang on. Faith. Trusting God's promises. What are we leaving those around us to help and encourage them to carry on faith into the future? Carry our bones, but to carry on in faith into the future. That's the calling here. To trust God for ourselves and to help others to trust him too. To lead others to trust him. J.I. Packer, great theologian from the last century, once wrote this: your faith will not fail while God sustains it. You are not strong enough to fall away while God is resolved to hold you. And he does hold you. And let's let others around know we're held by God. We're going to live like we're held by God. Joseph knew that, and he died with that faith and with that hope. So let me end with an image. I drew it, drawn from this morning's all-age version of this Bible talk. I spoke on this passage this morning in a different kind of way with children and all sorts of people there. Imagine this. A family lives with a suitcase by the door. The suitcase is packed, ready. Why? Because someone special is coming and he's told them, be ready for the journey. They don't know the exact day, but they live in readiness, bags packed, hearts prepared. That's what it means to live by faith. Faith isn't about having all the answers. It's not about being able to predict a timeline. It's about trusting the one who does know. And that he is taking us on a journey. Living every day with your suitcase packed, as it were, knowing the promises of God are better than anything Egypt has to offer, anything that now has to offer. That's what it is to live by faith. And we thank God for these three very frail men in their day. They're really flawed. You can read their stories for yourself in the book of Genesis. They made huge mistakes. But God had a hold of them. And over their lives, they came to trust that. And they leave a message for us. You can trust God too for tonight, for tomorrow, for next week, and for the future. And that's the invitation. Put your hope and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And then we're going to have a time of confession, saying sorry to God, which Joshua is going to lead. And after Joshua has led us in that kind of a prayer, Emma's going to come and lead us in our other prayer. So let me lead us in a prayer to start with, and then Joshua come and lead us in confession. Lord, thank you for the faith of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Thank you that their lives, full of weakness and mess, still pointed to your faithfulness. Help us to trust you when life feels backwards or scary or uncertain. Help us to bless others. Help us to worship you and prepare for a future we cannot see, because we know the one who holds it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.